So church tonight, we're going to be looking at the best we can with the time that we have, issues that are taking place around our world. And so we're looking at a message tonight in this special teaching that is based in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, that says, test all things, hold fast what is good. Hang on to what's good. Test everything, church. Everything that's going on in our world around us. If you forget everything else tonight, remember this, that you were called to test everything that's happening in the world around you against the scripture. And if you do that, you'll never go wrong. And so we're looking at a series of challenges tonight, all under the title of Now Arriving. I was thinking about coming out here. I was talking to the guys back in the rooms, and the things that Pastor Chuck longed to see, for example, we're seeing today in our world. The things that J. Vernon McGee talked about, we're seeing now in our world today. Things that Dr. John Wolfrid, things that Harry Ironside talked about, Chafer and Dwight Pentecost and others talked about, they're happening now. About prophetic things, things that are taking shape in our world. And so I affectionately titled it Now Arriving. And so we'll talk about some of those things tonight. And I want you to be taking notes this evening. I want you to, Lord willing, be able to use some of these things in the conversations that you have with friends and family. So we're going to be referring tonight to current events, obviously, timely things that are taking place, that are now arriving, that really describe and define what's happening in our world around us. But it is absolutely certain, if you've spent any time at all looking at international news, the globe and the people who occupy it are shaken right now. They are shaken by events that are taking place on all kinds of fronts. And things that I'm going to point out, just a few of them right now, on a global scale, I want to remind you of something. This is different. There may be somebody tonight saying, oh, this has been going on for years. Not like this. I would agree with you. I would understand that your great-grandmother said Jesus is coming back. And then your grandmother told you, and then your parents told you, and you're sick of hearing about it. But it is biblical, by the way, to believe that, because Paul the Apostle thought Jesus was coming back in his time. So did John. Every generation of believers are to be expectant regarding the Lord's coming for the church. But if we start to see, listen, if we start to see things that are setting up or that can be looked at in the light of second coming events, where Christ is returning, things that would indicate or be set up to the tribulation period, and if we're seeing things like that being set up now, then how close are we to the rapture of the church? That's what you must understand tonight as we go through this. Regardless of your background, just know this. The first coming of Jesus Christ was to Jerusalem, was to Israel, when he presented himself on Palm Sunday. They were to receive him as king. His second coming is to Jerusalem, Israel. And oh, guess what? He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In between those two comings to Israel is something called the rapture. And we don't know when it's going to happen. We have no idea, except that the things we're going to be talking about tonight are indicative. They are hallmarks of the end time events that usher in the last days, known as the seven-year tribulation period or the second coming of Christ. Now, how far is the seven-year tribulation period away? Well, it's at least 7 years and one day away. That we know. That could change, but that's a time period where we don't have time to talk about it tonight, but it simply deals with the ultimate politician making a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. That's something for some other night. It dawns on me, you know, we're doing this special night tonight, but next Wednesday night, I tell you, Charlie Kirk and I are going to be talking about Genesis 11 and the Tower of Babel and it being resurrected in these last days right here on this stage. You're going to want to be back for that. It's going to be something. But right now, we're looking at the things that are now arriving in the world around us. Jot this down, if you would. John chapter 14, verse 29. Jesus says, "Now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe." Notice that the things that are happening in the world are designed that you might believe. Not jump up and down, not swing from chandeliers, not do this or do that. But God tells you these things in advance that you might believe. True faith in God is what you need now more than ever. I'm going to flood you right now with a lot of verses and get you ready for some of the things that we're just going to analyze in light of Scripture. Tonight, I want it to be a night of you being informed. In Matthew chapter 24, which is the Olivet Discourse, in other words, Jesus gave this teaching to his disciples regarding the moments that would lead up to his second coming return to Jerusalem to establish his kingdom. But out of it, we can glean some important things. Again, keep in mind of what's going on in our world around us. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, that's why what he's about to say is called the Olivet Discourse, the disciples came to him privately, saying, or asking, they're going to ask three questions. See if you can catch them. "Tell us," they're speaking to Jesus, "tell us, when will these things be?" That is, the destruction of the temple would be indicative of the destruction of the nation. Jesus, if we don't have a temple, we don't have a country. What are you talking about? When will these things be? Number two, what will be the sign of your coming? And number three, the end of the age, or the end of the world as we know it. The end of the age. And Jesus, verse 4, said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." We don't need to go any further in that portion of Scripture, but to say deception is the greatest thing that comes against you tonight. With all that's going on in the world around us, deception is everywhere, like never before. In all areas, and we'll address some of those tonight. Ephesians 5, verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." A son of disobedience is someone who has been deceived. Don't let that happen to you. Jeremiah 29:8. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets or your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed." That's an important statement. If somebody of note says something, or somebody's got a crystal ball, or someone had a dream, "I know the Bible says this, but I had a vision." My friends, you're standing in the midst of possible deception. And you need to have your biblical guard up. Test all things, hold to what is good. And that is what's in the Bible, not what you feel, not what somebody says. Don't quote people. If you find yourself quoting people to back up your position, it's probably because you have a very weak position. What you want to do is quote Scripture in context. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. You're writing these down, right, you guys? Are you? All right. Colossians 2, 8. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Beautiful warnings. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. "Let no one deceive you by any means." Wow. By any means. "For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first," apostasy, "and the man of sin," that is the Antichrist, "is revealed, the son of perdition." The Bible is warning us that apathy will come, and it will be brought on by deception. 1 John 3, verse 7. "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he," that is God, "is righteous." And so we're almost done in this introductory part. This is very key, what I'm about to give you. It's fundamental. It's foundational. And it's an incredible factual statement that is presented to the disciples in Acts chapter 1. Listen to this. And being assembled together with them, he, that is Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. That's Jesus speaking. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's their question. So Jesus, you died on the cross, you rose again from the dead, you're glorified. We're talking to you right now. Does the kingdom age begin? Are you going to go sit on the throne of David now, just down the street in Jerusalem? Normal thinking. I get it. You and I would have thought the exact same thing. This is where Jesus throws off the tyranny of Rome and he establishes a kingdom. What could be left? Makes perfect sense. And it does make perfect sense unless God's got a plan to bring a whole lot of others into the kingdom of God. Verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. You ought to ask yourself this question. Why did Jesus say that? The answer is because 2,000 years had to pass. Because Scripture does not contradict Scripture. We're going to find out in Thessalonians that the Bible tells us, Paul will say, you will have, in 1 Timothy, you'll have no need that I should write unto you concerning the times and the seasons. You're going to know. So what's different? 2,000 years. That's what's different. That's why tonight's different for you than those 2,000 years ago. Listen to this. He's going to prove that to us here in a moment. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, notice, and in all Judea, epicenter, outward. Next is Samaria. Beyond Samaria is the end of the earth, the uttermost parts of the earth, to Chino Hills. Now, when he had spoken these things, watch this, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud. That is not a cloud, by the way, of a cloudy day. That is the glory of God. This is probably angelic manifestation being the cloud that he's received up into. This is glory. This is not a cloudy day. And received up out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, no doubt angels, who said to them, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come again in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. What an awesome statement. By the way, that applies in two ways. Number one, when Christ returns for his church, he's going to appear in the atmosphere and call us up. We'll talk about that soon. But also in the second coming, the Bible tells us every eye will see him. The entire unbelieving world will see him. The Bible says that in the second coming, the world will tremble for fear over the wrath of the Lamb that has come to judge the earth. Can you imagine? That's the second coming. And that is where he sets up that kingdom that the disciples were asking about. But the church had a missionary call, and they were to be sent out. And Jesus told them, you're going to go to Jerusalem, you're going to go to Judea, Samaria, and then you're going to go to the other uttermost parts of the earth. I wonder what they thought about that. They looked at the sand dial on their wrist and figured out, how fast can we get that done? And it's amazing. I want to put this statement up on the screens for you. We'll just look at it together. All current events must be viewed in light of the number one most important biblical prophecy in the Bible regarding the last days. This is the most important. Listen, get this right. This is the most important Bible prophecy concerning the last days. I personally believe the most important Bible prophecy of all time is Genesis 3:15. where there the prophecy by God is given that we will be redeemed from the seed of the woman, which refers to a woman bringing forth the Messiah that would save us from our sins. The greatest prophecy of all is that God would save us. And that was uttered to Adam and Eve from the lips of God himself. So all current events must be viewed in light of the number one most important biblical prophecy in the Bible regarding the last days. And if you miss this one, you miss them all. And it is the re-existence or the rebirth of the nation Israel. We must start here tonight. Today, the modern state of Israel is the single most important timestamp regarding the future. Friends, listen, you say, Jack, man, I thought you were going to talk about balloons and stuff. We will. We will. But it's all based on the single most important prophetic fulfillment in the Bible, and that is the nation of Israel. That is what God said. You'll know when I'm going to go to work again, when I bring Israel back from all of the nations of the world back into her own land. Listen to this. And I'll even bring them back into their own land, he said in Ezekiel, and they'll come back in unbelief. Did you know that? The Jews in Israel today call themselves Jews. Most of them claim to be atheists. Go figure that out. And when you do talk to them, they're all angry. They don't believe in the God that put them through the Holocaust and everything else. They're all upset with him, who they don't believe in, but they're upset with him. But I always pointed out to them, it's fascinating, your Bible prophecy right in front of me. Because the Bible says that you'd come back to your own land in unbelief. You don't believe in Yahweh right now. You don't trust him. You don't read his word. But just know this, God anticipated all that. The point was, I'm going to give the nation a rebirth. And you need to ask that question, did that really happen? So mark this down just in our arguments tonight. Arriving now is the fact that Israel exists tonight a second time, and no nation in the history of man has ever come alive a second time but Israel. Where is that found in the Bible? Nearly 3,000 years ago, Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 66, verse 8, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. And on May 14, 1948, Israel became a nation for the second time no other nation ever has. That's just foundational to where we're going. That's for any skeptics in the house to think we're making stuff up. It's incredible. Why is that important? Because right now on the screen, you can look at the Iranian leaders are calling right now tonight. They're calling for the destruction, the utter destruction of Israel from off the face of the earth. They want Israel eradicated. Think about that. And yet that's throughout the Old Testament scriptures that Israel would be hated. Israel would be sought after to be destroyed. Well, Israel has been resurrected as a nation, and the Bible warns us that in the last days, every nation that seeks to go against Israel will wind up being destroyed. That's an amazing statement. Somebody might say, well, you guys believe, you know, you Christians, you check your brains in at the door when you go into church. Well, I don't know what you're doing somewhere else, but that's the opposite here. You want to come in thinking, Bible open, and knowing history. Because God is the author of history, and God's the author of the future. That's why the two coalesce perfectly. Just know this. Israel exists as a nation, but she's got enemies. So I stated this when I put that headline up there to tell you. You may not believe Israel is a viable nation today, but its enemies do. Their opinion matters. Ours doesn't. God said, I will do it, and he's done it. Number two, now arriving is this, the rise of international tensions among the nations. It is heating up on a global scale. You and I living in the West, now we're predominantly preoccupied with China, Russia, and North Korea. But you're not paying close attention to the brink of war between India and Pakistan, both of them pointing nuclear weapons at each other. And there's so many other things going on in the globe around us. That's happening right now. That's going on right now. Israel's to be destroyed. That's the wish of their enemies. And there's global tension among nations right now. And so I want all of you to be thinking about this And follow through with me. Just hang on. You might be surprised with my conclusion. But I want you to pay attention. So about a week and a half ago, there was quite a stir regarding the Chinese balloon, the big one, that made it across the U.S. And there's been all kinds, and now there's going to be investigations, and there should be, as to what did it gather. We now have most of the parts reassembled. That's great to hear. And the unnerving part is that many of the parts we found out that have been reassembled were made in the United States. And it's written, and there's English written on the parts, not Chinese. So who made the balloon? Did we sell it to them? Did we ship them the parts? Well, there's an investigation underway, as you well know, but the fact of the matter is this. Balloon, and everybody had memes, and everybody's making jokes about balloons, and I get it. Well, I did the same thing. And so, you know, the balloon issue, and then something else happened. There was the manifestation of several other things that were not called balloons. Instantly, they were not called balloons. They were called something cylindrical. One thing was called was octagonal. One was viewed by some or reported by some to be somewhat a rectangular type shape. But no mention to them being tied to a balloon, which is interesting. You didn't hear that, did you? You didn't hear a second balloon. Now, by the way, just for the record, if you Google second balloon, you'll find, by the way, a lot of balloons. There's a balloon that went down in the Amazon that was found by a bunch of people. And there were some people that had cameras and they took pictures of it, by the way. And it was a Chinese balloon. Japan has encountered now Chinese balloons. And for those of you who are in military, some of you may find this new. It's not new. But China now has threatened to shoot down our balloons that are over China. Yes, it's true. We have had balloons over China for a long, long time. We are the balloon inventors of spying. Other nations now are catching up to us, if not have surpassed us, but we've been really good at that. But I wish I had time to go in. Some other time, we'll go into some of the details as to what these things actually are able to do. But it's interesting to me, and I'm going to ask you to follow with me now. Balloon, 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 everything was about balloon. And then there's these things. And we heard comments like, well, we're not sure what they are. And then you started to hear those three letters, UFO, UFO, UFO. It's amazing to me how we go from a balloon to almost UFO panic. And now out of the woodwork, people are reporting UFOs all around the world. Look, true or false, whatever that, I'll mention in a moment what I think about that. But note this, you're a Christian. You've got the Bible open. You know your God. And you're smarter than the average bear. You discern things. And so I want the guys to play this clip and we'll talk about it.
We've interviewed a number of experts on the show, people familiar with footage in the possession of the U.S. military, who have said there is tape out there of unidentified flying objects descending from the sky and then disappearing into the ocean. Well, today, that video emerged. The Pentagon has just confirmed that the footage is real. You're seeing it now on your screen. It was taken by the Combat Information Center on board the USS Omaha on July 15th, 2019, off the coast of San Diego. As far as we know, the UFO in question was never recovered. There was no material indicating a crash. More than that, we don't know.
Yep. Okay, so watch this. That is still an ongoing investigation. You can watch hours of this online. And the conclusion is that those that have been interviewed are saying It's definitely something not from this world because it defies our physics. Some are saying, I don't know what I saw. Some are saying it couldn't have been a balloon because it was very, very quick and maneuverable and then it disappeared into the ocean. Well, what are we looking at? What is that? Is it extraterrestrial? You know, what's happening? Well, listen, this stuff's going to increase. And how are you going to be affected by it? There's going to be greater things that are displayed with greater detail. For example, there are naval personnel of great rank, mind you. One of them is an admiral who said that once after that object descended into the ocean, that they were able to track it because they were doing maneuvers off the coast of San Diego and they had submarines. And they tracked that device that went down into the water at speeds of over 500 miles an hour underwater. That's impossible. Well, then it's from some other world. I think it's from some other world, all right. But not the world you're thinking of. I believe that we are now starting to see on a more acceptable level. We are certainly being primed like a pump to start talking from balloon. In 4 days, we went from balloon to UFO. In fact, there are military personnel tonight stating, in fact, a couple of them are in trouble with their Pentagon peers because they said, we may be looking at extraterrestrial activity. And they've been scolded for that. I would only add this. It's extraterrestrial, all right. It's demonic. This is satanic deception. Able to manifest itself enough to be so deceptive that the Bible says, in the last days, don't be deceived. What were you thinking about deception that would be easy? No, how about a deception that Jesus warned it is going to be so deceiving that if it were possible, even my very elect would be deceived? Do demons or do fallen angels have the ability to appear materialistically? Can they take form? The Bible's very clear about that. I submit to you tonight that something has happened in recent time that has opened a door, as it were, of demonic activity that is now upon planet Earth. It may have always been here, but now there's something going on. It's not just the clock ticking from May 14th, 1948, which, by the way, is interesting. I just thought about this. There wasn't much UFO activity talk until the mid to late 40s when Israel was born. Name it, Roswell or whatever you want. I submit to you tonight that it's demonic activity that is beginning now to manifest itself. Why? Because Christ is coming back. They don't know when, but they know he's coming back. You may not believe the Bible, but they do. It's interesting. Next clip.
So we know that last week's spy balloon came from China, but what about the three other objects shot down over the weekend? Well, apparently, U.S. pilots could not even identify how these objects were even being powered or staying in the air, so we seem to know nothing. Anyway, joining us now with reaction, a former Navy pilot. He previously encountered an unidentified flying object. Ryan Graves is with us. Ryan, welcome to the program. I know NORAD is saying this, that it's a possibility. I don't doubt that it is a possibility. I've studied it. I've looked into it. I find it an interesting topic. I've not been convinced that, you know, life exists elsewhere or what these unidentified flying objects are. But you testified before Congress. Why don't you tell people what you said?
Yeah, Sean, I think at the end of the day, I agree with you that we really just don't have enough information right now to make an assessment either way of what we're looking at. What we do know is that there are things out there that are posing an aviation safety hazard, and now we're seeing that hazard demonstrated in real time in Alaska and Montana and elsewhere and across the United States.
Okay, you testified. You're a former F-18 pilot, and you said that 50 to 60 people that you flew with would tell you that they saw a UAP every single day, yet one other pilot has confirmed this publicly. But you're saying that this was something you often all talked about privately?
Absolutely. We would fly our jets off the eastern seaboard in our working areas with our F-18s. And once we upgraded our radars, we started noticing objects in our working areas that we weren't expecting to see. And we were all seeing these. We were seeing them on our radars. We were seeing them on our camera systems and our FLIR systems. And eventually, we even saw them with our eyeballs. It came to the point where we almost had a midair with one of these objects as we were entering our areas, which forced us to file a hazard report or a HAZREP to report to the rest of the fleet that there was a safety issue that we were experiencing out there. And the air crew that saw this object just described it as a dark gray or black cube inside of a clear sphere.
Well, go into a little more specificity and detail what the type of things that you saw and 50 or 60 other pilots that you spoke to say they saw.
Yes, when we were off the East Coast, typically how we'd see these objects behave is stationary, which isn't very exciting, but typically when we're operating at altitude, we could have winds anywhere from 60 knots up to 120 knots.
What is your altitude?
These objects
fly
operating. We operate anywhere from about 5,000 to 30,000 feet.
Okay.
And so
they would be stationary.
High winds and these objects. Correct. And they would be stationary against the wind as if they weren't moving when we're fighting to keep our aircraft in the area. Other times, they would proceed in a straight line or in a holding pattern, often at speeds up to a supersonic 1.0 Mach. And they would also be out there all day, where our aircraft would typically only last for about an hour and 15 minutes when we're flying tactically. These objects would be flying at high speeds for most of the day.
Wow, amazing experience. First of all, thank you for your service. Thank you for sharing your story. And, you know, the fact that they don't know about the three that they shot down over the weekend is spectacularly frightening to me because, in fact, it shows a vulnerability I never thought this country would have. We appreciate you being with us. Thank you, sir.
So listen, if the things that were shot down were not tethered to a balloon or to a kite or to some other device, they were shot down. They had some form of control systems or not, we don't know. As far as I know, maybe you have heard differently. I've not seen one interview with anyone who has actually seen these recent things, encountered these recent things. We were told that they were shot down. The recovery process, have we seen anything? I've not yet seen anything. Doesn't mean that we're not going to, but the point is this. Even if, my friends, listen, even if there's materials or something that are found that are of a material or some composite type of structure that we've never seen before, that China doesn't do it, America doesn't do it, Russia doesn't do it, guard your faith and your mind to understand that demonic powers, for example, if demonic powers can take a stick and in Pharaoh's court and turn it into a living snake, then Satan can certainly manifest some form of materials that would look to be extraterrestrial. It's nothing for him. We don't know how deceiving the enemy can really be. And if you think COVID shook people up, I think the things that are coming are really going to challenge and see where your faith is really at. One more with Neil Cavuto on Fox Business, which you should watch every Saturday.
All right, we still can't identify those objects that have been shot down. Not the Chinese balloon one, but the ones that have no apparent owner since. That's raised some questions. If no country is stepping forward to say, hey, that's ours, it could just as easily be, of course, you know, a weather or other related device that maybe doesn't have any country ownership. Or maybe, just maybe, it might not be of this world at all. Chad Pergram with some out-of-the-world theories that are floating around in Washington. Chad.
Neil, good afternoon. The Pentagon cracked the door over the weekend to the possibility that the objects could be from outer space. The dearth of information led to lots of conjecture and worry, but the White House calmed fears today.
Again, there is no indication of alien or terrestrial activity with these recent takedowns. Wanted to make sure that the American people knew that, all of you knew that, and it was important for us to say that from here because we've been hearing a lot about it.
There's another Senate-wide briefing tomorrow morning. Still, lawmakers are frustrated at the lack of information, but they began to rule out extreme possibilities.
I have no reason to believe this is a UFO, and I noticed that the general's wording left open the door, so I know that's gotten all kinds of excitement. But the chances are this is just a normal, run-of-the-mill thing that we and the intelligence community know how to exploit.
However, there is concern that China or Russia may have technology which outpaces the American military, or they have something the U.S. has not seen before. While the threat may not come from outer space, intelligence analysts say the incursions are a wake-up call to everyday Americans.
People have to understand China is in a direct conflict with the United States. It's certainly not to the level of war at this point, but it is conflict. We have to get over this idea that of shock every time one of these things happens. It's less shock at this point than, well, it's happening again.
Congress got serious about tracking UFOs after a hearing last spring, the first in 50 years. Lawmakers mandated the government begin documenting UFOs. Previously, the Pentagon scoffed at pilots who reported the unexplained.
Did you see the bottom, by the way, while he was talking? Did you read that? I wish you would have seen that. General considers extraterrestrial origins. That's what the general was briefing Congress about. The general said it. And quite frankly, Alyssa Slotkin, for her to say what she said is ridiculous. She's rebuking a general. And a couple of years ago, I think she was working at Baskin-Robbins. I mean, it's ridiculous. Here's the thing. The general is, I don't know what he believes, and I don't know who he is, but he's briefing the authorities on what he believes it is, and he's not the only one who believes that. My point is this. You need to be very, very careful to understand that the deception warned about in the Bible certainly takes all this stuff into consideration because Jesus said there's going to be deceiving signs and wonders in the heavens, in the air above our head and beyond. I just love the fact that the Bible anticipates everything the world's going to throw at us. It's just, are we going to discipline our minds to think biblically? And all of this has opened up our third consideration regarding this UFO factor, this conversation. Now, people are just nonchalant. Well, you know, UFOs, people have made jokes about E.T. And, you know, whatever. If you see something, somebody might say, well, I was taken up and I was... Listen, when you have bizarre manifestations across the United States and various parts of the world where animals have been disemboweled through a little pinhole in their stomach where everything's been sucked out, that's weird. When there's massive burn marks on fields where something landed, that's weird. But it's demonic. It's not from some star cluster behind Andromeda somewhere. It's demonic. And you're going to need to figure that out. You're going to need to know that. But I just find it amazing that our culture, which for decades or longer, maybe a half a century, have been pumping out movies about sci-fi stuff, right? And then all of a sudden, no, it's just a balloon. It's just balloons. Don't think about it. And then a general and others and a naval aviator, 50 of them, 50 naval aviators say, we saw it. With our own eyes. Our eyeballs agreed with the technology that was bouncing back to us on our instruments. It's demonic. Think of the possible explanation. It makes a perfect explanation. If you're going to entertain that, it's going to be a great cover for the rapture. The aliens took us away because we were bad people. Or how about this one? Do you remember some of you oldies in here? Eric Bogdanovich and the Chariots of the Gods. Remember that book? And that's who Jesus was. You see, that's why he was able to do his miracles. He was an extraterrestrial. And did you know people believe that? And that's no small theory. But you got to be, listen, we're doing this message tonight for you right from the get-go. As soon as I started watching the dialogue shift from balloons to UFOs, I thought a deception. And whenever the White House holds a press conference, I always think a deception. I don't want to get off on this one. It's not for tonight. Look it up. Please, everybody, look this up. Guys, we won't have time to play all these clips. But side note about deception. Tonight, you guys, we're in huge trouble. Huge trouble. Did you know that the United Nations, they're going to be gathering to investigate the United States because of what happened a couple months ago? Did you know that Russia makes billions of dollars selling natural gas to Europe? It's called Nord Stream, and there's Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2. They're pipelines on the bottom of the Baltic Sea that deliver life-saving natural gas to Europe. And it's billions of dollars to the Russian economy. Several months ago, the United States Navy, we were doing maneuvers with Norway, and that's normal. But during those maneuvers, there was an undisclosed dispatch or detachment of U.S. Special Forces that went down to the pipeline, and the actions of those divers have been revealed and made public by one of the participants. And unknown to Norway, it was flying its, what our version is, a CP-3 Orion. If anybody's aware of that sub-hunter type aircraft, it's got multiple platforms. You can use it for all kinds of things. In this case, their version of it dropped a sonar buoy into the water, normal, and it sends out signals and tones. Like, have you ever touched a phone or, you know, remember the old days? Boop, 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 right? It sends out tones like that, and it looks for Russian or Chinese submarines or anomalies or see the terrain of the bottom below. It gives you a map back, but it sends out sounds. We can't hear it, but machinery can hear it. It just so happens that the United States, without congressional knowledge, without Norwegian knowledge, set up C4 explosive devices on Nord Stream 1 and 2. And then they have a capacity. It's like a backpack. It's quite amazing. Think of a backpack, like a JanSport. You know JanSport backpacks? They can just set it right under so they put the C4 on this big pipe. Then they put the backpack on top of that. They just pull a string. They pull a string, and this thing starts to grow, and it turns into a concrete encasement. Protects the C4, holds it in place. C4 is a highly explosive material, like a brick, but a soft brick. So the Norwegians fly by, drop their probe, goes through the do-do-do-do-do, and when it hit the seventh tone, it sent a signal to the C4, and it blew up the pipes. And immediately the world, led by the United States, condemned Russia for doing this to themselves. They sabotaged themselves to justify them attacking Ukraine, and we were the ones that led the way. How terrible of them! We were the ones that did it. United States did it. Now nobody wants to talk to us. There's going to be a hearing. United Nations is going to, I hope, hold us accountable. Turns out that many members of Congress and the Senate didn't know. Supposedly, the order was given by Joe Biden. I don't believe that. He'll be the fall for it, but he didn't do it. Somebody else behind him did it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble tonight. Nobody wants to play with us anymore. Listen, there's people tonight in Europe that are regulating their gas to stay warm because they don't have enough because we messed them up. We've angered Germany, and we made the Norwegians look like idiots. We played them. And oh, by the way, to date, when that gas was released into the ocean and then made it to the top and released into the atmosphere, and I'm wondering how many of you heard this. Can you imagine this happening under Trump? Biden orders the tactical team to blow it. They set it. Norwegians innocently blow it up, not knowing what's going on, and it releases. They actually have the amount of gas that went into the atmosphere, CO2 print, has done more devastation to the environment than something like 200 years of the world's current emissions of CO2. Who did that? Joe and his Democrat team. We're looking at facing war on this. And we just made the biggest ecological disaster in human history because of the buffoonery of these clowns in office or the goons that are pulling the strings behind. We're being deceived. The nation's been deceived. The only hope for this country, take that back. The only hope for the population within this country is one Christian telling somebody else about Jesus Christ. Amen. Is one Christian praying for salvation to break out across this land. But this nation has lost its way in a terrible fashion. Now, I digressed. You research that on your own. But there's no place to hide on this one. We did everything to hide it. The U.S. did everything to hide it. And what the guy revealed was so top secret that we had to own it. And boy, Lavrov, the defense minister of Russia, immediately called a full session of the UN to condemn the United States. Remarkable. At a time like this, there's a debilitating emotional and mental stress that's forcing itself upon people. Perplexity is one of the words that you could use, bringing people to a sense of hopelessness. You don't need to be like that. If God's Bible, do you have your attention? You guys are really quiet. If God's word tells you these things in advance, then you need not fear. That's the whole point. Do you understand that? What I don't like is when I go to the doctor and the doctor doesn't tell me what's coming. I want to know. I make my doctors tell me. I tell them, you're going to tell me. When they say this, you know, it's going to be a little uncomfortable. That's deception. It is going to hurt like there's no tomorrow. When they say a little uncomfortable, I want to know what's coming. And how is it, one step, three steps? Is it three needles? Is it how many? What's the, tell me now, because now I can deal with it because I know what's coming. God gave us the future in advance called Bible prophecy so you can know and be prepared. None of us have got to be surprised. Very important. Listen, when you're surprised and shocked, it leads to stress, which can lead to hopelessness. None of God's kids should be hopeless. Amen. Know your Bible. Amen. You want to know the future? Yeah, sure do. Know your Bible. Amen. Again, from the Olivet Discourse, Luke chapter 21, it's something of the future, but we can glean truth out of it. In Luke 21, 20, the Bible says, Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Notice, Judea. Watch everybody. Jesus is saying, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, then let those who are in Judea. Do you live in Jerusalem?
No.
No. Do you live in Judea?
No.
No, you do not. Flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance. The word vengeance is another word for indignation or wrath. This is the wrath of Almighty God. This is the second coming stuff. This is nearing the end of the tribulation period, people. This is not now. You're not going to experience this, but just listen to what's being said. That all things which are written may be fulfilled. Verse 23. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Why? You would say, how come? That's weird. Why? For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, an unbelieving people, an unbelieving world. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles. That's an amazing statement. It's a near and far fulfillment. Number one, Jerusalem was surrounded in 70 AD. The temple was destroyed by the 5th Roman legion. And the Jews did flee to the uttermost parts of all the world. That did happen. But it's going to repeat in a much fast-paced scale during the tribulation period. Israel, we're talking about. Verse 25, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The word perplexity means no way out of a confrontation. There's just no way out. We're going to war. We've exhausted every possible out, and it's going to happen. There's nowhere to go. Nations will be held in perplexity. See, Jack, but that's in the future, right? Yeah, it is in the future. But can you see the stage being set? Lying, deception, cheating, manipulation, power. When somebody says do this and it involves nations and billions of dollars in people's lives, wow. And the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. That's what the Bible says. I pray that all of you in this room, listen, Luke 21, 36 says, pray that you'll escape all of these things mentioned here and stand before the Son of Man. You don't have to go through this stuff. Isn't that amazing? But you need to trust in Jesus. You need to follow Christ. Arriving now is the fact, and I'll just go quickly on this, is interpersonal divisions between one another. See, what do you mean about that? Matthew chapter 10, verse 21 tells us that in the time of the end, brother will deliver up brother to death and father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. You know what? Up until recent times, I thought, man, I mean, I know the Bible says it. That's true. That's going to happen. But man, that's weird, isn't it? But you know what? You think back to the days of Adolf Hitler and people were turning one another in. Nazis. You say, I'm glad we don't live in that time. Do you realize that if somebody would have said, if you know somebody that's not vaccinated, you better turn them in. We were that far away from it. Or what if you didn't wear a mask? What if you were so stupid that you bought a mask and you read the side of the mask, the box, and it says, this cannot protect you against the virus. But you never took the time to read that. You just put it on. But what if somebody read it and you called, 411, this dude doesn't have a mask on. We got really close, people, because contact tracing. Can we have your cell number? How many times did you get a phone order for food or go to a restaurant and then they started asking for your cell number? Even today, when I post something on my social media, if it's a statement about something regarding COVID or flu or sickness, watch how fast a pop-up comes up and it says something that this statement has not been verified, or you need to look at the latest data provided by the CDC. But a time when children will turn on parents and parents on children? There are now children turning on their parents, and child protection are taking the kids away from the parents because the bonehead teacher at school put a doubt in the kid's head. The kid goes home and tells the mom and dad, "I think I'm a girl." And the mom and dad say, "You're not a girl, you're a boy. Where'd you learn that stupid stuff, craziness from?" Then the kid goes back, innocently tells the teacher, and then the teacher tells the principal, and then see, you think I'm making this up? Listen, I'm repeating what some of you have lived. We've lived with it with you together, where child protection shows up at your house because you did not accept their view of themselves. That's happening. According to the Bible, it's going to reach a time when they'll even kill one another. And you say, "Man, that's extreme." Yeah, I know, but I'm telling you now in advance so that when you hear about it, you'll know my Bible already warned me about this. I can trust God. Unhinged lawlessness and violence in the world. I don't need to elaborate on that. It's one thing for a thug, right? I expect the thug to knock me around, right? Gone are the days when you used to pull up at the gas station and sit there with your window down. You're filling up, you know. Nowadays you get out of your car, you lock your car, you're on the outside, you're putting the gas in, and now you're looking everywhere. And you're looking to see if the reader for your card's been tampered with. Seriously, I hate to say this, it's sad, but who goes to LA anymore? I'm not joking. Dodger Stadium is a beautiful place, and it's a beautiful stadium. Once you're in there, you're okay, but you got to get in there, and then after the game, you got to get out. God bless you. May the luck of the Lord be with you on that. Violence everywhere. And I expect a thug to beat me up. That's what they do. I don't expect judges and lawmakers to beat me up. Today in the news, San Francisco just lost some big status. It was some big deal about value of homes. Used to be an area, Nob Hill in San Francisco, where it was one of the most expensive properties in America. Now you can't get rid of your property. And literally the politicians said, "We don't know what to do about this." When the whole thing, the drugs, I was there recently, I can't believe, beautiful BMW, broad daylight, back window smashed out, laptop taken out, gone. Wild world, people. Here's the thing. It's not just San Francisco. It's not just LA. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, again, speaking about the future, he said, "In the future, because of lawlessness abounding, the love of many will grow cold." In other words, man will not love fellow man, and there's going to be a lot of violence. People will ask us, we're going to be going to Israel in the spring of 24. And people are going to be saying to me, they always say it, "Pastor, I want to sign up for Israel, but will I be safe?" And I tell the people, absolutely, you are absolutely not safe until you get into the terminal at LAX. Then you're safe. The most dangerous part about going to Israel is going from Chino Hills to LA. Once you're in Israel, you're fine. or on the plane. And if you think I'm joking, how many people die a month in Israel versus how many people die a month in Chicago? Violence. But I don't need to worry about it because God said there'd be days like this. Next, systematic assault against the nature of God. One after another, most of everything that you and I are dealing with in our world right now is a systematic attack against the nature of God. Genesis 1, verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind. Kind. Hello? Kind. Do you know what a kind is? It's a species. Let things reproduce according to its species. Who said that? God said that. Do people believe that? Can a man be pregnant? Well, it depends on who you are. If you go to USC and UCLA, they can. God said, nope. God says there's species. That's it. That was Angel Gabriel chiming in. Watch this. Cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth according to its kind. Notice, cattle and creeping things according to their kind. There's no creeping things and cattle getting together. Cattle, cattle, creepy, creepy. Okay? And it was so, verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth according to its kind. Each beast, its species. Cattle according to its kind, and everything creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That is, to me, the kind of person I am, is one of the saddest verses in the entire Bible. Because that means, that verse there in the Hebrew means Adam and Eve could, in some way, shape, or form, have a play day with a whale or a giraffe or a gorilla or a monkey or whatever. They could. I don't know if they could talk to them or not, but there was no fear in the animals. In fact, the Bible says there was no fear in the animals until after the fall. God says to keep them alive, the animals, I'm going to put the fear of you, Adam, in them. That's why when you go up to a bird, it flies away from you. In Adam and Eve's day, the bird didn't fly away from you. Can you imagine? Like, is it Cinderella or Sleeping Beauty? All those little birds twittering around, landing on her head. I love that stuff. I mean, I'm serious. I love that kind of, that's a sad verse. God said, I want you to play with the animals. In fact, during the millennium, the Bible says children are going to play with snakes. Look, that's great. God said it. I don't like it. I still don't like it. I don't like snakes. I don't even like worms, to be honest with you. But so God created man in his own image. In his image, he created him male and female. God said male, female. God said male, female. God said. Well, I don't believe that. God said. I don't like that. God said. I can't take this. God said. God said it. But if you don't believe in God, you see, then the Bible already anticipated that too. Because the Bible says, when we don't believe in God, every man does what's right in his own eyes. It's dog eat dog world. And what you have, and if I like it, I'm going to take it from you because I've got bigger guns or I'm bigger than you are. And that's just the way it is. Survival of the fittest. Tough. Norman Geisler said, in the mind, when God dies in a person's mind, man dies. That's a brilliant statement. But if there is no God, then you can have 100 genders because you can make it up. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. I think you know what that means. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish and over the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Amazing. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the last days, the latter times, these days, some will depart from the faith." Are you watching that happen? I am. "Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." That's it. Your kids are being taught deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons are infiltrating your kids' theology, mind, and thought process. You think, listen, you think that doctrines of demons comes from rogue pulpits? That's the obvious. Satan's too smart for that. Hasn't Satan always gone for the children first? And he's doing it again. It's another way how we know we're in the last days. Kids are safe nowhere. The most dangerous, dangerous place to be for a kid is in America these days. If they survive the womb, the system will get them in the class. Too much. We're out of time. Let's do this. What about the increase of cultural and moral depravity? Moral depravity. Before I show you something, I want to read you something. In fact, guys, put Romans 1 up there. So hang with me, people. "For the wrath of God is revealed." The Greek word is this. The wrath of God is constantly, presently being revealed. It's like rain falling. It's happening now. It will only increase. "From heaven, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, hold down, sequester the truth in unrighteousness." That means they'll do anything to hide the truth. "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them." There's an internal witness that God is real, but they hold that down. "For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." If anybody tells you that they're an atheist, they're insulting themselves and you. Because down deep inside, they know better. "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts." Futile. Deranged in their thinking. Do we live in an age of deranged thinking? "And their foolish hearts were darkened." People are in position of power, people are in authority, and people are teaching our kids in places of power, and their hearts have been darkened, and they've become foolish because of their futile way of thinking. "Professing to be wise." Isn't that what they say constantly? You need to listen to me. I'm the expert. We all learn that experts, that term now means nothing anymore. If somebody says, "I'm an expert," just go away. Seriously, I don't want to hear about it. "I'm an expert in the field of," don't want to hear it. I'm done with that word. "Professing to be wise, they became fools." Why? "They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image of like corruptible man." Watch this. It's evolution in reverse. Man, birds, four-footed things, creepy things. Did you get that? Satan just read it backwards and gave it to Chuck Darwin. "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves." Can I remind you? This is a 2,000-year-old document. "Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Amen. "For this reason, God gave them up." He just got rid of them like lint. He gave them up. Gave them up to their vile passions. Think about that statement for a moment. When somebody goes erotic, if they don't control themselves, ask Ted Bundy. Well, you can't now, but Ted Bundy said he started out looking at his mom's underwear catalog. And he went through every form of pornography, then every form of prostitution, and then every form of sexuality, and none of it eventually could get him excited until he was murdering somebody during the act. Ted Bundy. You should watch the interview with Dr. James Dobson and Ted Bundy. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. In other words, women exchanged the use of a man and went after women. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful. Watch this. And receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. That's an amazing statement. Inside of themselves, which is fascinating. The female doesn't receive female protein in the lesbian act. But the male receives male protein. And that male protein within the male, immediately the receiver's immune system goes on high alert. I mean, the it just goes into full battle array. Foreign protein, attack, attack! That's why people who practice homosexuality have such short lifespans, is because on the male side, is because they predominantly die of colds and flus eventually because they have no more immune system. Because their body fought their whole time together other male proteins. By the way, Dr. C. Everett Koop wrote in his findings when he was Surgeon General of the United States, I believe, helped me out under Reagan maybe. Dr. C. Everett Koop said, ladies, listen up, girls. If you receive protein from a male, it stays in your metabolism, in your body for 7 years. One sex partner, one night stand, 7-year deposit inside of you, working through your immune system. What if it happens twice a year, two different people? You're killing yourself. You'll die. For even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the debased mind. That's an amazing statement. I don't want to think about God. So God says, okay, then you won't think about me anymore. To do those things which are not fitting. Wow. Can you believe that's in the Bible? You want to show the image? This is hard to believe. You're not going to believe this. Did you know, what was yesterday, everybody? Yesterday was what day? Valentine's Day. Valentine's the day that in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the Satanic Temple opened its telehealth abortion clinic in New Mexico. Yep, the Satanic Temple unveils its abortion clinic. And you're not even going to believe that. You're going to have to look that up on your own. Because it's just too fantastic. Breitbart did an article, Satanic Temple to open world's first religious abortion clinic. They said it's your religious right to get an abortion. It's your First Amendment right. And yeah, this is not fake news, people. This is real stuff. That's too fantastic. I understand. It's too fantastic. But it's happening. I want to remind you and encourage you that the remnant of true believers will make it until Christ returns. He will see to it that you and I make it through. Now, listen, I love this. Don't be worried by this. There will always be God's remnant. And in the last days, Jesus said that when I come back, will I even find faith on the earth? A lot of people are departing. You see all the data, all the stats. Don't worry. Don't worry about that. Oh, this denomination, that denomination. I was in, today, I was on New York radio, downtown Manhattan radio. I forget the call sign of the station. And the interview was regarding the Church of England. And they wanted to know what I thought about the Church of England is battling with the gender identity of God. And so, because there was a lesbian ordained priest or pastor, whatever they call them in the Anglican Church of England, she made a motion to that it was offensive to call God a he. Well, we've never called God a he. God calls himself a he. And so I said it a little nicer on the radio, but just know this. Going to church doesn't help you get to heaven. Okay, you need to know Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. Okay, I don't even mean to upset anybody. I don't need to get you all fired up here, you know, but everybody's asking me, what did I think about the Super Bowl ad, the Super Bowl commercial, the Super Bowl commercial? He gets me. Is that what it's called? He gets us. Sorry. He gets us. And I was asked to comment on that, and I said I didn't get it. I tried hard. I just didn't get it. I don't know if you saw it. It said Jesus loved those who hated him. Okay, absolutely. We get that. We understand that. Where's the cross? Where's the empty tomb? Where's the repentance? Where's the some of the statements? I couldn't even understand what they were saying. Why are we ashamed of the gospel? It is life. It's our only hope. And listen, it's our only ticket out of here. It's not a spaceship. It's Jesus. And then finally, we end with this. Just know that today, literally, could be your last day. Amen. That you can know absolute certainty that if you die today, you could go to heaven. So you mean right now? Right now. You could go from being an absolute God denier or an atheist or even some sort of a strange religionist, but you're lost. You've never been born again. You can change that right now. And if you died on your way home, you'd go to heaven. Is that amazing? Yes. See, what makes you say that? The thief on the cross is exactly that event. In a matter of moments, his attitude changed and he saw that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So I want to leave you with this, people. Now, when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. Wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you'll have no need that I should write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have died, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, that's the word rapture in Latin, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, The dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be a people energized by the Word of God, discerning the times and the seasons in which we live, that everything from this step forward, from this moment on, would be Bible filtered. God, that we would not fall for any authority, any expert, any news broadcast, any manifestation. God, that we wouldn't even trust for a moment our own dreams or even what we see with our eyes in these days of deception, but that everything would come back to the Bible, back to the Bible, back to the Bible. Almighty God, we pray that you'd pour out your Spirit upon this pathetic land. God, forgive us of our great sins, our horrible, murderous violence, our lying and cheating, conniving, adultery, homosexuality, violence, assault, broken homes, abused children, abused spouses. Oh God, forgive us as a people, forgive us as a nation. We of all people, a nation beyond blessed, how the mighty have fallen. Oh God in heaven, forgive us. And hear our prayer, hear our cry. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would so come upon each and every one of these, your children, with the renewed strength of your Holy Spirit for power, for witness. Lord Jesus, we pray that if there's a man or woman, boy or girl in our midst, or those watching on, God, that they would discern that there's something empty maybe. There's a hole. And that they would say to you right now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I know that I've sinned against you, God. And I want to have the right thoughts about who you are. I want to know you for truth and for reality. Actually, to know the living God. You're not coming to him for religion. You're not coming to him for anything else. You're coming to him for who he is. That's all. For who he is. And he is the one who says that he loves you. There's nothing that you could have done in your entire life that can keep his love away from you. You may think that you're unlovable, not to him. He's calling out to you that you might experience his forgiveness and have new life. He wants to transform you. That's what he does. We can't do that. No church can do that. He does it from the inside out, if you'll just open the door of your heart. Give him all your grief. Give him all your pain. Give him all your sin. Give him all the stuff that you think you've been hiding all this time. He has known about it all along. You can fall into his arms. You can rest. He went to the cross for you. He rose again from the dead for you. And he wants you with him. But you must invite him in. And Father, I pray for our brothers and sisters tonight that all of us would sense the lateness of the hour, that Christ is coming. There's a lost world out there. And the greatest thing that we can do is tell another man, woman, boy, or girl about Jesus. But we must know what we're talking about. We must know the gospel. So, Father, I pray that you would do whatever's necessary to get us focused on knowing and to proclaim the truth. Lord, if you grant us the grace and the favor to get back together this coming Sunday, we pray between now and then that our lives would make a difference. That we would just slow down and listen. That we'd turn stuff off and lean into you. And it all starts, even now, seriously, no joke. It all starts with us leaving this property tonight. The parking lot is the first place where it gets tough. It's true. It's true. We all know it's true. All of our cameras on campus has already recorded your attitude every Sunday and Wednesday. And if a camera can see it, what can imagine what God sees? Love one another. Rest in him. May the Lord fill you afresh with the power of his Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Good night, everybody.